بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Resuming with the rulings and related matters to Siyam and Ramadan, the following point is types of people who are exempted from fasting and do not have to make up for the days they break the fast, but must pay ransom in return for every day they break the fast. There are different classes of people that fall under this category. Number one is an old person who cannot fast, male or female. And this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. A person who is sick and whose cure is not hoped for, chronically ill, and there is no hope for him to be treated. So there is no hope for him to later make up for the fast. He will continuously remain ill, so he can't fast forever. So that is incapable, because Allah Azza wa Jal conditioned that with capability. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, obligations are waived when there is incapability in performing them. I give an example here. We are commanded to stand up during the mandatory 5 daily prayers. And if someone sits without an excuse, his salah is invalid. Correct? But he's allowed to sit when he's ill. So that obligation of standing up during salah is waived because of an excuse, a legitimate excuse. Why? He's incapable. There is a hindrance that prevented him from fulfilling this obligation. Likewise, if someone is ill and will continuously remain ill, then he'll never be able to fast because his health simply does not allow him. So that's another category or class of people. Based on that, the contemporary scholar said, anyone whose job is extremely difficult and will not be able to fast whilst working, and he will always be having this job because it's his only source of provisions, then he is also ruled as the one prior to that, the one with a continuous excuse, legitimate excuse not to fast. Number 4 and number 5 are related to women. A pregnant woman and a breastfeeding woman who fear for either their health or the baby's health or the fetus in the pregnancy, then they're allowed to not to fast and pay ransom, feeding a poor or needy person rather for every day. And this is the opinion of Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Now, the condition for this concession to be given to these classes of people is real incapability, real hardship that cannot be tolerated by normal people. And it's not just exhaustion, a bit tired, I don't feel very good when if I fat. No, it has to be a legitimate excuse, a real hardship that cannot be tolerated, and harm is expected as a result of fasting for any of these classes of people if they do fast. Now, this ransom that must be paid in form of food is equivalent to about 750 grams of rice. Anas radiallahu anhu, when he grew older and he became unable to fast, he used to gather 30 poor or needy people and feed them one meal altogether to make up for the 30 days he couldn't fast during Ramadan. This is a narration that was ruled as authentic by Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullahi. Now, who's exempted from fasting but must make up? The first one is exempted and does not have to pay to make up but must pay a ransom. This one is a class who is exempted from fasting, who's given the concession not to fast, to break his fast, but must make up for the misdeeds. It is a person who is traveling and a person who is ill. And this illness is judged, as the scholar said, based on one of the two following categories or conditions. It's either judged by a doctor, a physician, a medical doctor that is, or prior experience. The person knows that he is ill in this type of illness. He's got this type of disease. And he knows that in previous years when I try to fast, I couldn't. Some people, when they catch a cold, they can't do anything, right? So, if he catches a cold, he simply cannot fast. He must be on treatment. Others might catch a cold and have infections and a runny nose, you name it, right? But they still can tolerate fasting and life goes on very well. So, it's either by a physician telling you, no, you're not allowed, or you yourself having prior experience based on which you decide, no, I can't fast if I am ill. Now, what is better for a person who is traveling? Is it to break his fast and take up this concession? Or to fast and refrain from taking the concession and applying it and enjoying it? Well, there is a difference of opinion between the scholars. It's a controversial issue. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, it is up to the person. If he sees that he is strong enough and he can fast, then he may fast. If he sees that he is weak and fasting during travel will weaken him and could subject him to harm, then he needs to refrain. As a matter of fact, there is a narration that is mentioned in the book of Imam Muslim. Hamza al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this particular question. He said, I see in myself strength. Should I fast or should I take the concession? He said, if you feel that you're strong enough and you can fast, then go ahead. So, it's up to the person. When would a person who is intending to travel, when can he actually break the fast during Ramadan? Then the scholar said, if he mounts the means of travel, if it's the car and he starts traveling or the plane, then he may break the fast then. Now, any type of travel would suffice. Can someone travel for any purpose and still say there's a concession and I'm going to go ahead and break my fast? No. Scholar said it must be a travel to a lawful purpose. So someone who's going to gamble, for example, right? Or other prohibited reasons of travel is not allowed to enjoy this concession because he's going on an impermissible and impermissible type of travel. So he is punished by not being allowed to enjoy this concession. The third type of people who are commanded to break the fast and must make up. So we mentioned two who are allowed to break. This one, this type is commanded. It is haram to fast during Ramadan for this type of, or this class of people, but must make up. It is only for women who are in their monthly period or in the postpartum bleeding. They are commanded not to fast. It is haram for a woman in such a period or in such a situation to fast, but she must make up for these missed days after Ramadan, after the bleeding stops. Now, even if she starts bleeding seconds before the sun sets, that day is invalid and she must make it up. There are days that Islam legislated them being prohibited for fasting. We can't fast during them. We will just select some of them. The 2 days of Eid, as the Prophet ﷺ said, and it's narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, reported by Abu Dawood and Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi, ruled it to be an authentic narration. The Prophet ﷺ forbade fasting during these 2 days, the day of Eid al-Fitr and the day of Eid al-Adha. Another type of fasting, or another fasting that's prohibited, is to fast the day of doubt. People are doubting whether tomorrow is Ramadan or not. You're not allowed to fast that day unless it coincides with fasting that you're usually used to do. For example, it coincides with a Thursday or a Monday, and you're used to fasting Mondays and Thursdays, right? In this case, this does not apply to you. Okay? Another type of fasting that is prohibited is continuous consecutive fasting without breaking it with the fast breaking meal or the pre-dawn meal, without eating at all, continuing day and night, day and night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited that type of fasting. Next, we will come to the etiquettes of fasting. Number one is having the pre-dawn meal, the suhoor meal, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in the books of Imam and Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Anas, he said, eat the pre-dawn meal, tasahharu, eat the pre-dawn meal, فَإِنَّ السُّحُورَ بَرَكَةٌ فَإِنَّ السُّحُورَ بَرَكَةٌ. In another narration, فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةٌ, because there is blessings in the meal of, in the pre-dawn meal of suhoor. Should I eat rice and chicken and meat and bread and salad and have a jar of... No. So what would suffice as suhoor? The Prophet ﷺ said, eat anything, and if you can't, at least take a drink of water. So the minimum you can do is have a drink of water. But what is the best type of suhoor? The Prophet ﷺ said, the best type of food for suhoor is dates. To have a date, or to have dates, depends on how hungry you are, right, is the best type of food you can take as suhoor. When is the best time to have suhoor? Don't have suhoor after taraweeh and go to sleep and wake up for fajr. No. The best time for suhoor is shortly before the crack of dawn, before the adhan of fajr, as was the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. What if someone is eating and he's doubting whether or not it's time for salah? Well, a man came to Ibn Abbas and told him, I eat. When I start doubting that it's time for salah, I refrain. He said, no, don't refrain. Eat until you're certain that it's time for salah. Now, this might not apply to our times. We have the calendar with the timetable, and we have the adhan, whether in the radio or in the masajid. MashaAllah, we live in a Muslim country. Allah has blessed us. Alhamdulillah, we live in a Muslim country, and we hear the adhan from multiple of masajid, not just one single masjid. So I don't think anyone would be in doubt whether or not it's time for salah, unless he's deaf. Then he needs to have sign language and have someone tell him that, inform him that it's time for salah. Let us conclude here, and we resume with the etiquettes of fasting in the following session, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.